Let's pray before we go into God's word. It is a good thing that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man who maketh the Lord his trust.
Mm-hmm.
Lift up thy face unto God, and light shall shine upon thy ways. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom I shall be afraid. And this is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence this evening, reminding ourselves where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, that you draw us this evening to worship you in spirit and in truth, not because of our own desire, but we come truly alone in the merits of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And for that, Lord, we humbly want to give our wholehearted praise and thanksgiving for this great privilege and yet humble privilege, because we don't deserve to be saved, and yet because of our sin, and yet because you love us to the uttermost, you continue, Lord, to shower us and love us with your grace and tender mercies, for they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Prepare us now, Lord, to worship you with the right frame of mind, giving us the right attitude to be responsive to thy commands and to every aspect of our lives that you will expose that needs to be changed. Lord, make us willing to be saints. Remove every form of unbelief, especially those who are listening outside of our church. Even as a result of this during the week, those who are suffering from hopelessness and without direction in their lives, please, Lord, compel them to believe and draw them to your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. For this is the only hope that they have, looking for many answers to their longings of their hearts, but this world cannot give. And this is our prayer for them, that our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Lord, please draw those who are restless, those who are seeking meaning and purpose in life, those who are outside of your grace. Will you please, Lord, once more be merciful and gracious to draw them, that they might trust our Lord Jesus Christ. Plead for them to come unto him as their Lord and Savior. And tonight also, Lord, please unite our hearts as your people to take every advantage of listening under the instruction of your holy word, so that, Lord, we'll be enriched deeper and more fit to serve you and to live for you in the power of thy Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the text that was read before us in Genesis 5, 22 to 24, and also in Hebrews 11, verse 5, I would like to repeat that up to verse 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see God, that he should not see death, I should say, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As we are reminded of that last verse, a man must come believing to begin with that God is the God that he is. That's the first aspect of faith. You must believe that he is God, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is faith, not works. Faith alone pleases God, and that is what is exemplified in the life of Enoch. Faith alone pleases God, and all the people in the world running around doing all kinds of religious activities are not pleasing God. They may even bow down before their God, which is not in the Bible. There are millions of people who do this, and yet they call in the wrong God because their God is a man-made God. The only thing that pleases him is faith in our true God, the God who revealed himself in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the last days, he revealed himself through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the only true faith based on the object of our true faith is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the God of Enoch, who is the true God with whom he walked in heaven. And of course, before he walked in heaven, he walked with God here on this earth. What a remarkable thing to see the example of this holy man of God. Now, by faith, in Hebrews 11, verse 5, it is said that by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had testimony that he pleased God. It is a duty and a glorious thing to walk by faith. And it is emphasized in those texts in Genesis that was read, chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, that it is not the walk that is emphasized, but its deepest faith in the true God that he trusts and walked with day by day while he was in this world. The people of God in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, walk with God during the best of times and the worst of times. And you can testify to it yourself when you have read them in your own Bible. So when Enoch walked with God, he walked with him in faith. That is the point of emphasis here. It's not how we walk, it is the effect of how we walk, which is based on his deep faith in God. And that affects everything. What's going on in his mind, what's going in his heart, and what goes out of his mouth, and the way that he walks. And that he moves and think and see and hear and speak. It's all based on his faith, on this true God that he worshiped and walked with day by day for 365 years. What is extraordinary about Enoch is how many years he walked with God. We are told on the text that was read before us in just Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, we read that after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. The amazing fact is that it's clear is that once Enoch started to walk with God, he continued to walk with God on and persevered for 300 years, day by day, out of those 300 years, and even his first 65 years, until the end of his earthly life. Enoch walk with God was his daily goal and thrust of his faith. That is how Enoch was pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is extraordinary is already mentioned, the fact that when we compare and try to analyze his life, that there is no record out of the 300 years that he faltered. He walked with God. And nobody could explain when he disappeared. Nobody, there's no record how he disappeared. How he, they cannot find him. But the explanation is in our text, that God translated him and he took with him in heaven. And they have a closer walk, more closer walk in heaven, day by day. Mind you, all of us have struggled to walk consistently in 1 week. For 300 years, name one Christian who can consistently walk for even 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Consistently walking joyfully with God. But that is our lesson tonight. We are looking into the life of this man about his consistency in living a godly, righteous, holy life. Verse 6 says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he comes to God. And that is true of Enoch, because he entered into fellowship with God day by day out of all those 365 years. And he continued that fellowship more sweeter and sweeter when God took him and translated him up in heaven. But he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Believing that God is the God he is the basis of pleasing God. What does that mean in our personal life? Well, it's not just praising God for our salvation. Of course, we must do praise God for our, and thank God for our salvation. But it is not just testifying to the world that we have a new life in Christ, that God loves us. But we must testify that what is pleasing to God is what he makes of us as his people, that is pleasing unto him. And that Enoch demonstrated this. He trusted in the God he served, the true God that he is, a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. He trusts God in the pursuit of all his desire, and God gave him all his desires. God was satisfied to be in his company. And what he established and what was established is that this truth about him is based on the object of his faith, and that is the true God that he worshiped and served. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You don't come to God by works. You come to God by faith. He who comes to God then must believe that he is. Because he believed in the true God, he sought the rewards of his righteousness, forgiveness, and holy, righteous, holy living. And this is the portion of every Christian. We need to ask God for the rewards of righteous, holy living, not just the material things that we need, that we care about. It is the holiness, the Christ-likeness that God intended for us in saving us through his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. To walk with God implies reconciliation. That means there is a transaction that we have surrendered our sin and confessed our sin to Christ to wash us anew through his precious blood and to be filled by his mighty Holy Spirit. To walk with God implies not only reconciliation, because sinners are by nature alienated from God. Paul affirms that to the Corinthians when he says light and darkness can't go together. You can't put Christ and Belial together. You cannot walk with God with some hidden sins in our lives secretly. There's no Christian who can walk and serve God effectively with some unconfessed sin in his heart or her heart. That must be always be restored. We must always seek reconciliation and forgiveness and cleansing. And that is where we must answer God, when that God is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. It's not just for our daily support day by day, physically or emotionally. We must ask God for daily cleansing, for his sanctifying grace to be always in the forefront of our thought, that we might get closer and closer with God and know him better and better and deeper day by day as a result of praying and reading his holy word to instruct us and to apply it in our daily lives. Implied in this union with God, or this communion with God by Enoch, this fellowship is a new nature, completely new nature. All things are passed away. The new has come. Light has no communion with darkness. Therefore, no sinner left in his sin can walk with God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And that will be true of Enoch, because of his faith, God imputed righteousness to Enoch, and therefore he was acceptable to God. God is so righteous, and in order for man to walk with God, he must be accounted as righteous. He must be given a righteousness imputed to him. Not for man to display his own good works or his own self-righteousness, and although many people claim that, I'm not a bad sinner anyway. I don't do that worst crime in my life. And yet, God is saying to us, if you say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and make God a liar. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the fact. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the difference. when everything is confessed to God, we don't no longer live with the old self, but we are now living and walking with a newness of life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is also a factor of a surrendered will on the life of Enoch. To walk with God implies that to him, he desires his holy communion and holy surrender to the demands of that holy communion with God or holy company with God. Enoch was a faithful preacher as well. He preached an unpopular message. This is the message that the Lord gave him, that in Jude 14 and 15, that there will be judgment on ungodly sinners. The whole society was against God. Living our lives with God in it makes things easier and give us hope. We may not realize it, but walking with God is so much better than walking without him. And that is the example that Enoch had shown to us and is worthy to be our example. Number one, to apply the example and the life of faith that Enoch gave before us on the record of his life, on those texts that was read before us. You must remember that walking with God makes things possible. The Lord never said that our lives here on earth would never be easy, would be easy. We are going to go through hard times and struggles day by day. And this, from the day of our salvation until God will take us, this hard times and struggle will not go away. And it may go from worse to worse. Now that we have this pandemic, it's a high call, not only for believers or unbelievers, that in the midst of these hard times and struggles, doctors, consultants, and scientists are still struggling to make sense of what they can do to alleviate the effect of this virus that is deadly. It's only God who can answer the struggles and difficulties that we face right now in the midst of this pandemic. They can manufacture vaccine, but that will not forever make us live in this world. We will die soon, isn't it? And that the life of Enoch make us should point us to the right direction and priority of our lives and to follow his example. But our times here on earth will be worth it to live for God, to live for our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we are here and given this new life in Christ, to spread his love and the light that was given to us, to others. And the good news that is our Savior. Walking with him give us the assurance of his presence and power in our lives. Our God is powerful. And with him, all things are possible. We can endure trials and heartaches because of Christ's resurrection power in us. We can overcome. And Leviticus 26:12 demonstrates this for us. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. And that is a reassurance that as we walk with God, with our true God, who has built himself in our day in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the victory. Because he won that victory for us so that this struggle, hard times, can help us in our daily needs. Number two, let's remember that in looking the example of Enoch, it should make us remember that God is our comfort. The Lord is always walking beside each one of us, his own chosen people. He is going through every situation with each one of us. He loves and cares for each one of us and will always stand by your side. Walking with him will give you the comfort of knowing that he is always there for you. Even though I walk through the valley or through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23 continue to reassure us. And thirdly, in the life of Enoch, it must encourage us in our persevering prayer. He will help us. No matter what you are going through, God will help you. Mm-hmm. You can always cry out to him for help. He will always dare to pick you up and move forward. It says in Hebrews 4, 15 to 16, I'll read it to you. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Dearly beloved, these scriptures are so clear. I don't need to elaborate on them because it's so clear that we have such an high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows how we go through life, our struggles, and our hard times. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we are called at the throne of his grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And lastly, walking without him. Repeat that. Walking without him is an unnecessary struggle. When we are not walking with God, we are going through to struggle of various kinds, and even more so because we are on our own. People try to carry their burdens on their own, and yet at the end of the day, they are hopeless. They do a lot of things. They go to what the world offers. They may enjoy it for a while, but their problem faces them the next day. There's no change. There's no hope for them. We have to figure things out for ourselves if we are not walking with God. And it is much more difficult than it should be if we are walking without him. God is the light of our path. He will show us the way But without him, we are in the darkness. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Dearly beloved, may we constantly remember that the life that Enoch demonstrated for us, that we may not be all like him, but we will experience the same thing when God will translate us, when he will take us to his glory, we'll be given a new heavenly bodies. And that is our hope. Maybe Enoch and Elijah were the first one who did not experience physical death. But we will have a renewed body like them and walk with God. May we continue to reflect on those verses that we have read tonight about a life that was dedicated in walking with God and pleasing his God. And that is Enoch. May our continuous living in this world, may the rest of our lives be spent in encouraging ourselves and seeking God with all our heart, soul, body, and strength. Love the Lord your God with all our heart and our soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the life that Enoch lived in this world. May that be our constant prayer, to live closely with God and please him the remaining years that God will give us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We'll sing our final hymn, please. O breath of life, come sweeping through us.
Number, please.
Number 254 in Redemption Hymnal. Number 254 in Redemption Hymnal. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Yes. Revive us, Lord.